When the former governor of Illinois, Dwight Green, met General Dwight D. Eisenhower, comments were exchanged on their identical first names. "I was named by my mother," said the general, "after the famous evangelist, Dwight L. Moody." Dwight L. Moody. Famous evangelist? Yes. One of the outstanding evangelists of all time, says the Encyclopedia Britannica. A man of extraordinary energy. His sermons were colloquial, simple, full of conviction and point. His practical skill and tact, his genius for organization, his honesty, his singular largeness and sweetness of spirit, and his passion for mending and winning souls made him, in spite of his scholastic defects, one of the greatest of modern evangelists.
Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it? At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher. That is all. Out of this old clay tenement, into a house that is immortal, a body fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body. I was born in the flesh in 1837. I was born of the Spirit in 1855. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit will live forever.
Dwight L. Moody went up higher on December 22nd, 1899. But he, being dead, yet speaks to us today through one of his stories that he told so frequently. How is it with you?
Greenville, South Carolina, there stands an institution of intellectual growth, acknowledging the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. Bob Jones University, the Fortress of Faith.
I was in New York at the Fulton Street prayer meeting a good many years ago, one Saturday night, and when the meeting was over, a man came up to me and said, "I would like to have you go to the city prison tomorrow and preach to the prisoners." I said I would be very glad to go. There was no chapel in connection with that prison, and I was to preach to them in their cells.
He had to stand on the little iron railing and talk down a great, long, narrow passageway. There were some 300 or 400 prisoners, but Moody could not see a single one of them. It was pretty difficult work, preaching to bare walls.
My friends, there is one spot on earth where the fear of death, of sin and of judgment, need never trouble us. The only safe spot on earth where the sinner can stand. Calvary. Out in our western country, in the autumn, when men go hunting, and there has not been rain for many months, sometimes the prairie grass catches fire. Sometimes when the wind is strong, the flames may be seen rolling along 20 feet high, destroying men and beasts in their onward rush. When the frontiersmen see what is coming, what do they do to escape? They know they cannot run as fast as that fire can run. Not the fleetest horse can escape it. They just take a match and light the grass around them. The flames sweep onward. They take their stand in the burnt district and are safe. They do not even tremble as the ocean of flames surges around them, for over the place where they stand, the fire has already passed, and there is no danger. There is nothing for fire to burn. And there is one spot on earth that God has swept over. 1,800 years ago, the storm burst on Calvary. The Son of God took it into His bosom. And now, if we take our stand by the cross, we are safe for time and eternity.
When the sermon was over, Dwight L. Moody felt that he could not leave the prison without seeing the ones to whom he'd been preaching. He wanted to know how they had received the gospel. At the first door, where the inmates could have heard him best, Moody looked through a little window. The men were playing cards, had been playing cards perhaps all the while.
How is it with you here?
Well, stranger, we don't want you to get a bad idea of us. False witnesses swore a lie, and that's how we're here.
Oh.
Christ cannot save anybody there. Nobody is lost.
Well, friend, how is it with you?
The man who robbed the store looked very much like me, but they caught me, arrested me, and here I am.
He's innocent, too.
How is it with you, my friend?
Well, I got into bad company, and the man that's guilty got clear, and I got arrested. But I never did anything.
Dwight L. Moody went to nearly every cell, but the answer was always the same. Not one prisoner was guilty of doing anything wrong.
I've never seen so many innocent men together in my life. According to their way of it, nobody is to blame but the magistrates. Lord, these men are wrapping themselves in the filthy rags of their self-righteousness. And that's been the story for 6,000 years.
On and on Moody went, from cell to cell. And every man had an excuse. If he hadn't one, the devil helped him make one. Moody was almost through the prison when he came to a cell and found a man with his elbows on his knees and his head in his hands. Two little streams of tears ran down his cheeks.
How is it with you?
Oh, my sins are more than I can bear.
Thank God for that.
What? You are the man that's been preaching to us, ain't you?
Yes.
I thought you said you are our friend.
I am.
And yet you're glad my sins are more than I can bear?
Since your sins are more than you can bear, why not cast them on the one who will gladly bear them for you?
Who's that?
The Lord Jesus.
He won't bear my sins.
Why not?
I have sinned against Christ all my life.
My friend, it's like a cup of refreshment to find a man who thinks he's a sinner. You know you're the first man I've seen in this prison who believes he's lost. A great many people want to bring their faith and their works and their good deeds to Jesus for salvation. But what they must bring are their sins. Christ will bear away your sins into the wilderness of forgetfulness, and you will never see them again.
No. A miserable sinner like me can never be saved.
No matter how low down you are, your heart may be overflowing with corruption and wickedness, yet Jesus will have compassion upon you. He will speak comforting words to you, tender words, and words of love and affection. Kindness.
But you don't know what I've done. I've drunk away $20,000. My home has been broken up. And my wife and children have left.
The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You see, Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. To open the prison doors and to set the captives free.
No. I'm too big a sinner.
Do you want to be saved?
Yes.
All you have to do is accept what Christ has already done for you. Here, take my hand.
All right.
You kneel there on that side of the bars, and I'll kneel out here.
All right.
Now let's pray.
All right.
Call on God. Just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I trust you from this hour to save me. And the moment you take that stand, he will put his loving arms around you and wrap you with the robe of righteousness.
Lord Jesus, you know what a big sinner I am. But this preacher says you came from heaven to die on the cross to save wretches like me. Please forgive my sins.
When the prisoner finished his prayer, he looked up. There were no tears of remorse and despair now, but there were tears of joy. His countenance beamed with celestial light. The Son of Righteousness had broken across his path. His soul was leaping within him for joy. He had received Christ as Zacchaeus had, joyfully. He must have been the happiest man in New York City.
His burden was gone. You know, I think that prisoner was the happiest man I saw from the time I left Chicago till I got back again. I bade him goodbye, and I expect to meet him in another world. My friend, can you tell me why the Son of God came down to that prison that night and, passing cell after cell, went to that one and set the captive free? It was because the man believed he was lost. Friend, how is it with you?
Today's story was adapted by Robert Pratt from A Treasury of Dwight L. Moody by Harry J. Albus, and Anecdotes and Illustrations of D.L. Moody, related by him in his revival work, compiled by Reverend J.B. McClure. Listen again next week at this time for another dramatic story of Christian experience from the Fortress of Faith, Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.